The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Welcome to our show. I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I invite you to join us and our inspirational guests as we discuss stories of loss, hope, and recovery. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, whose mission it is to promote healing after loss, and by listeners like you. We also invite you to join our Open to Hope family by visiting our websites, blogs, and YouTube channel, where you'll find inspirational articles, poetry, and grieving tips to support you on your journey of hope, loss, and recovery. If you are listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi, me, and our guests by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are all archived on the blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites, and all shows can be downloaded on iTunes. Well, Heidi, we've got a really great show today, and before we get started with our guests, we're going to have our first guest is going to be Kim McLean, whose music's an inspiration to everybody who needs inspiration after loss. And our second guest will be Pamela Prime, bereaved mother and author of When the Moon Starts, We Can See the Stars. But before we get started with our guest, Heidi, we are into reading the second poem from our poetry contest that won second place. Oh, no, it was first place, right? Tied was
right,
first.
It was first place. We had a tie for first place.
Right.
We had two that won first place.
Right. And would you go ahead and tell our audience about that, who it was, and read it for us?
Sure. Our first place winner was Robert Brault, and the name of his poem was Jesse's Piece. And I'll read it for you. It starts, "The world's a jigsaw, once I thought, with each of us a piece to fit. A predetermined grand design, and each of us a part of it. I thought that God must surely have a blueprint of his final goal, and all who come into his life are meant to play some fated role. But when my little Jesse died, it seemed to me but sure caprice, where fits a child in God's design who never lived to add her peace. How often did I walk alone to still the anguish in my heart, to ask why God would make a plan in which my child had no part. One day upon a village square, I happened by a tiny shop. What random step had led me there? What in the window made me stop? It was a quilt, a crazy quilt, each piece a brightly colored patch, a joyful glowing work of art from scraps you'd think would never match. I looked upon the quilt in awe to think a thing so oddly fine was stitched from fragments never made to fit to anyone's design. I wondered then if God might wish that in this way his world be built, each life a motley colored scrap, and he the weaver of the quilt. If such be true, I realize my child's life, though short it be, is yet a joyful shining patch in God's eternal tapestry. I looked upon the quilt and saw a patch that seemed but sure caprice, so whimsical, it made me smile. I knew it was my Jesse's Piece."
Thank you so much for that Jesse's Piece, Robert. And if you want to read more of our poetry, you can go on our websites and go to our poetry area and read that poem again and look at other poems. Well, Heidi, would you like to introduce our guest today?
Sure, I would love to. And again, Robert, thank you. That was so moving. Our first guest is, as you said, Mom, Kim McLean, and our topic is Finding Peace and Light After Loss. Kim is a mainstream artist whose music is used often for comfort and hope of the bereaved. Although that was not her initial intention, people have sought her out because of the healing quality of her songs and vocal presentation filled with inspiring music. Rapunzel, Heart of Heavy Stone, and Ain't No Glory on the Ground are upbeat messages of moving into the light. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hey, Heidi. I'm glad to be here.
Hi, Kim. It's great to have you on. Now, tell our audience a little bit about who you are and where you live. And
I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I moved there from North Carolina to be a songwriter, professional songwriter, and I own a farm there now, a 30-acre farm, and written songs for lots of country artists, lots of gospel artists for television, Tim McGraw and Trish Yearwood and different ones, and now I'm out traveling and singing the songs myself.
That's great. Well, I love your music. It's absolutely fabulous, and we've got a couple of your songs that we want to play on the show today, but you and I had a discussion about grief and loss, and you were telling me that you had had some pretty traumatic things in your life as far as having your ex-husband die.
I did. He was my childhood sweetheart, and we were actually engaged when I was 16 years old before I was finished with high school, and we were married when I was 18, and married for 12 years and have two beautiful daughters together. And we had been divorced for a number of years when he developed a brain tumor and went pretty quickly. It took about a year, but it was a very difficult time. By then, my daughters were teenagers, and so it was a pretty rough time because he had been not very involved with their lives, seeing them occasionally for movies or what have you, but there were lots of unresolved issues, and the person that he remarried was not happy that he had a family before.
And so you're kind of cut out, and the kids were kind of cut out. Well, you know, tell me about your music. Now, when something like that happens to you, does that come into your music?
Oh, yeah, because you write what you know, and I don't want to write if I can't write from my heart and if I can't write the truth, as much as I'm humanly able to understand it, you know, and I think all of our stories connect, and I think that the experiences that I have and go through, some people say everything is meant to be and everything happens for a reason. Whether that's true or not, everything can certainly come to some good. You know, in our losses and our tragedies, we can help others with them. And I feel that I have a responsibility to do that as a songwriter and as a musician, because music is the language of the soul. And, you know, you can cut to the chase and go straight to the heart in a way with music that perhaps no other format quite allows, and help the grieving process. And when my family was blown apart by this tragedy, the first thing I did was pick up my guitar and start writing music and start singing songs that had meant something to me. Not everything that I wrote even, but, you know, hymns and things that brought me comfort. And it got me through. Those were my prayers.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us about, in a minute, play Rapunzel. Tell us about that. Why did you write that, and what does it mean?
Rapunzel, the original title of that song was Heart of Heavy Stone, and it came out of this grief process that as you begin to see light at the end of the tunnel a little bit, but you're still kind of in the dark tunnel, I found some hope in understanding that my life is made stronger by a heart of heavy stone, that when you carry around this pain and you carry around this sorrow, it's like carrying a big stone, and it builds your muscles, you know, it builds your strength, and then you can help others. And so the whole song is dealing with that, you know, am I headed up, or am I headed into a darker abyss? And it's just, that song deals with that time of questioning and comes out of it on the hopeful side of okay, I don't want to be alone. Come and be with me, and let's go through this together. And I'm going to be made stronger by this. So it goes from questioning in the first verse to some sense of resolve.
Well, let's play that, and then we'll go to break. And when we come back from break, we'll talk about it again after the song's break. Can we play that, Rapunzel? Heavy Heart of Stone?
Maybe I'm Rapunzel and I need to let my hair down. Maybe I should fly out of this window and ride the window. Maybe I'm a bluebird and this is as happy as I'm ever gonna be. Heaven's not the end of us, magic carpet, and it's the fading daylight on the roof on it. So I think I'll pay attention to the beauty all around me that I see.
So we'll go to break now.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us today, we are talking with singer-songwriter Kim McLean about finding peace and light after loss. Welcome back to the show, Kim and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Well, Kim, I love that. That was absolutely fabulous. And you have you really do try to have an upbeat quality to your music, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I do because, you know, I want to encourage people. You know, there are things in this life we suffer, but we're all in it together. We all suffer together, but there's also joy. And I believe that as deep as my deepest sorrow is how high my highest joy can go. And there's a certain balance there that we have to remember, both sides of that, you know?
Right, absolutely. Well, I love the part in, would you like it called Rapunzel or Heart of Heavy Stone?
I like it called Rapunzel, and that's the reason I changed the title of it, because it helps people remember it. And the association with the fairy tale, you know, I mean, I started out life as a little girl thinking, I'm going to find my Prince Charming, and I'm going to live happily ever after with my perfect little family and my perfect little girls, and everything will be perfect, just like in fairy tales. And, you know, sometimes the reality is different. There is going to be suffering and loss in life. There is going to be that.
And I love the wording in there where you said, I can't change my weakness.
Right, right. Yeah, and some of that is inspired by the Serenity Prayer. I can't change my weakness. You know, I accept the things I cannot change.
Uh-huh.
And I cannot change my weakness. You know, it's okay to be weak, especially when you're grieving.
Right. Well, tell us about the next song that we're going to listen to, Ain't No Glory on the Ground. Talk about writing that and what that means.
Ain't No Glory on the Ground is, it's got another mix of happy, sad about it, but it's a song of hope and resilience. It begins with, you know, life just really turned the wrong direction for me last fall, and this is hard, but I've got to rise above. I've got to get back out of this. I've got to leave behind this depression and this darkness and find a way to soar again. And it says that every time if I fall, I land on a foundation, and that foundation becomes a new place to rise up from. And it's just about the ups and downs of life, and, you know, that it's all, we go from glory to glory in some sense as we live and we grow and we learn. And, you know, we're all just a bunch of velveteen rabbits walking around becoming real with every next blow. And there's lots of joy in between, and there are the mountaintops again, so that's kind of what that is about. I was hoping that everyone that hears this song with a catchy tune would sing along and sing it for themselves, you know, not to be singing it to say, okay, Kim McLean really thinks she's going to make it, but that they'd sing it for themselves and say, pardon me if I fly, but I was born for a big sky. And I think about those who who I have lost, who I love, even my girl's dad, even, and how much, what a great big heart he had, and somehow I imagine him soaring around in a big sky now, you know, a bigger one that I can imagine, and you know, I just think it's an important message of encouragement.
Great. Well, let's hear that song now. Ain't No Glory in the Ground, on the ground. Well, Kim, that is a great song. I love that idea of being born for a big sky, don't you, Hyde?
Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Really wonderful. And everybody's an angel.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to remember when we're even just walking down the street looking one another in the eye, you know?
Mm-hmm. So tell us how people get your music.
They can get it at KimMcLean.com. And that's my website, and that will lead to all sorts of places online. I'm on iTunes and Amazon, of course, and Rhapsody. They can Twitter with me or Google me and all of that good stuff. I'm in a lot of the Davis Kid bookstores and Borders, so various places.
And you're even Twittering now. Good for you.
Well, it's a strange new world.
So it's Kim McLean, and it's AMC, capital LEAN.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about capitals or not on the website. It's just MCLEAN.
Great. Okay. So, Kim, what kind of advice do you have for our folks out there who have losses and are really feeling down and out right now?
Well, the first advice is to love one another, you know, and just that those surrounding the ones hurting would be supportive and kind, always kind, and that sometimes the simplest words are the best, and for those who are grieving to just wait it out, hang in there, take another breath, take another step, because this too shall pass, and you know, and that we all are grieving together. If one person is hurting, we all are.
And you can get your music and listen to it and feel a lot of support.
I hope so. Yeah, a lot of these issues are dealt with in my songs. Yeah.
Well, I want to tell our audience to make sure they stay tuned for the whole rest of the show, because we're going to go out again with your song, Rapunzel, Heart of Heavy Stone. And, Kim, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been great to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you, Gloria. It's been great to be on.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for giving people hope after loss.
Oh, thanks, Heidi, for all the stuff you guys are doing. It's just awesome.
Thanks. Well, when we come back from break, we'll continue to discuss peace and light after loss with our second guest, Pamela Prime, who's author of When the Moon is Dark, We Can See the Stars. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, I'm Eric Kipple, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator of the University of Michigan Depression Center. It gives me great pleasure to announce the publication of my autobiography, Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss, written with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley and published by Quality of Life. Real Men Do Cry takes you on my journey of fame and fortune to unbearable pain and depression following the death of my 15-year-old son, Jeff, and gives practical information on the warning signs and risks of depression. My story ends with an uplifting message of hope and recovery. I have faith that if I have made it, you can too. You can visit my website to learn more about my book at erichipple.com and more about depression on depressioncenter.org. Thank you.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
Hello, my name is Neil Chethick. I'm the executive editor for the Open to Hope Foundation and author of the book Father Loss, How Sons Deal with the Death of Their Dad. As editor of the foundation, it's my job to find writers for our website, writers who would like to contribute their articles, poetry, and personal stories about grief, loss, hope, and recovery. If you'd like to write for our website, please contact me. You can do that by visiting opentohope.com and click on the category Write for us. Then you can start bringing your words, your stories, to our fast-growing audience around the world.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and for those of you just joining us, we are talking today about finding peace and light after loss, and our second guest is Pamela Prime. Pamela Prime is a mother, grandmother, spiritual director, and author of When the Moon is Dark, We Can See the Stars. She has survived the loss of two children and a divorce. Through it all, she has found peace and light deep within. Welcome to the show, Pamela, and welcome back, Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, welcome, Pamela.
Thank you.
We were just saying that you're one of our writers for the foundation, which is great. So you can go on opentohope.com and hit on Pamela Prime and read some things that she's written for us.
And her profile page will also take you to her website.
Yep, absolutely. So, Pamela, let's talk a little bit about your experience and your journey. You've written this wonderful book, When the Moon is Dark, You Can See the Stars, Awakening the Spirit Within, which is just absolutely full of wonderful advice and your story and having people find their own story and your story. It's quite an amazing book.
Thank you.
Could you tell our audience a little bit about your experience and what you've been through?
Well, I'll tell you, I think I would like to begin by saying the reason that I wrote the book was because I have a lot of joy in my life. And out of that joy, I felt called to write and to support people in moving through the things that are so difficult in their lives. When I was 30, my baby died of sudden infant death. She was 4 months old, Maggie, and that was the first thing that happened to me that just really caused me to wonder if I could continue to live. Really, it was a shocking experience, and I remember it happened when we were in New York, and I remember flying back to California where we were living, and crying the whole way and wondering if I'd ever stop crying. Then my 16-year-old son committed suicide. He and his brother had gotten some firecrackers, and they burned the house down with the firecrackers. When we came home, the fire trucks were there. I don't think he ever got over that that experience. He was I was a wonderful kid, and I'm not sure all the reasons that caused him to drop down into the depths of darkness that eventually led to the suicide. But in 1981, he died by his own hand. So I think it was a few years after that that my husband and I divorced, which was another very traumatic experience. And I think those experiences have, I was listening earlier to Kim, and she said we're like velveteen rabbits getting more and more real. I think those experiences really were amazingly powerful in awakening me to who I am and who I really want to be.
Now, you were in graduate theological school.
Yes.
And when Sean died?
Yes, I was.
And so you do talk a bit in your book about your religious experience and turning to God for help.
Yes.
With those kinds of things. So that was a time, did you question your God at that time?
No, there was a moment when I found out that Sean had died that I asked God, where were you and how did you let this happen? And it really and truly was only a moment before I realized that we have free will and that there are certain things that God doesn't do. And one of them is interfere with our free will.
Now, for our audience out there who's just suffered a loss, how did you get through this? I mean, what kinds of things did you find
that were helpful for me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Maggie died, I was young, so I didn't really have a lot of tools or the ability that I have, that I developed. When Sean died, I was a lot more aware. And I had already been through a death, so I knew that I was going to survive. I didn't know how long it was going to take. But I think that the thing that has really benefited me more than anything is to honestly and openly stay present to the feelings that emerged within me, whether it was fear or rage or hatred or whatever it was that came up, to really be present to myself with those feelings. Feel them fully.
And the world doesn't always want us to do that, do they?
Oh, there's not support for that. No, there isn't. But I learned how to do that while holding myself with a felt sense of love and compassion. And I think I learned to love myself as I did that. I know how to love other people and to listen to other people. But it took some time for me to learn how to love and listen to myself with compassion.
Now, what if I'm there hearing this, but I'm like, I don't know how to do it? I know you have some ideas in your book for people about writing and that kind of thing.
Well, I think it's very difficult to do a lot of this all by ourselves. And I am fortunate in having had an awful lot of support through the years, friends and therapists, spiritual directors, who listened very attentively to me and taught me how to listen to myself.
And you talk in the book about your story and about people telling their story, that
yes.
The importance of it.
Yes. It's extremely important. I really believe that I did a tremendous piece of healing for myself when I wrote the book. It took me a long time. It took me 7.5 years to write that book. I actually wrote it very quickly, and then it took me 7.5 years to write it artfully and truthfully. So as I was writing, particularly the emotional parts about the deaths of the children and also my relationship with my first husband, I spent a tremendous amount of time in prayer reflecting on the question, is this really the truth? Is this really how it is and how I feel? And it was very provocative for me to do that. So there were many things that I found within myself that I really needed to release in prayer and with love and compassion and move on.
Mm-hmm. So now do you run workshops and things also for people?
I do. I ran a spirituality center for women and men for a number of years and taught spiritual direction. And now we live up in Twain Heart, where we have 3 guest houses and people come on retreats. We do a prayer and healing circle, which came about because 1.5 years ago I was diagnosed with second stage lung cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and by staying present to the mass in my lung and listening to it as if it had a story to tell, which it did, I was being rolled into the emergency room for surgical biopsy, rolled into the room for surgery, and the nurse came rushing in and she said, "Stop, we're not going to do this. Your mass has almost disappeared." So after that, I started the healing circle to support people in knowing that we have the capacity and the power within us with God's love and care to free ourselves from things in our body that don't belong there.
So how would people get in touch with you if they're interested in your going into your center? Or
I think the best way would be, well, there are 2 ways. You can go on whenthemoonisdark.com or Two Bears Dancing, that's TWO, twobearsdancing.org.
Okay, all right, so you'll be able to find her there. And I received an email last night, and I had emailed it to you because I thought it was kind of amazing that I got this email right before this show, because what Angie, who sent us the email, is asking for is a lot of what we're talking about today.
Yes.
So I want to read this email and then have you comment on it. Angie says, "I'm a 27-year-old woman who lost her mom, and she requests that she said that it's that we do a show about family, mental illness, and death. Angie says that death is complicated enough to begin with. Losing a parent with mental illness makes it even more complicated. And she tells us that she's seeing her mom's therapist, and it's been wonderful, but that she is very introverted." Heidi, I think this is interesting, that she's very introverted, and that the radio shows have really been her bread and butter for her grief.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting.
And this is what she was wondering. I'm also wondering if, and by the way, we will do a show. I told her I'm booking into September now, but I will definitely do a show on losing a parent with mental illness. She's interested in a parent that does not die by suicide, because she comments that there's a lot written about mental illness and suicide, but not much about dying of some other, you know, cancer or whatever, and living through mental illness along with that, which has got to be quite a challenge. So she was wondering if we had a book or a website suggestions that relate to writing after loss. And she says, "I think writing would be helpful for me. However, I feel I need more direction with what I write, because I go to pick up a pen and my brain is just too flooded with thoughts and emotions to get anything written that makes me feel better or that feels useful to my grief." Now, what would be your advice to her?
Well, the first thing I guess I'd like to say is that I think Angie is an amazing woman. I am struck by how appreciative she is, how loving and compassionate and caring, and how clear she is.
Mm-hmm.
And she's obviously very determined. She knows what she wants, and I think she's going to get it with no problem. So I, first of all, I'm very impressed with Angie. It's not an easy thing to sit and write when the emotions are so raw, as you know well. It would be really wonderful if she had, maybe with the help of her her mother's therapist, who is now her therapist, maybe she could arrange some time where she could write some of the things in her presence or with the presence of a caring person, a person who didn't have any need for Angie to feel any differently than she feels, to allow her to fully feel the emotions that are within her, because I think that's the most important thing. My present husband was an incredible gift to me during my writing because he listened to every single word that I wrote, and it allowed me to emote in a way that I don't think I could have had I had to do this all by myself.
And now, Pamela, don't you have on your website, it's coming back to me right now, a little YouTube clip of you talking about your experience, and it's triggering something in my memory. You at some point wrote, but then you put chalk, you did some drawing over your writing.
Oh, yes, I do that all the time.
Creative stuff.
I use chalk and colored pencils in my journals.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't even have the words, and so I'll use colors to express what I'm feeling. And after I do that, I can often write then what it is that I need to write. So I have my journals from way back. The ones that I wrote in and drew in because I couldn't express myself. Sometimes I would just write a word and just use colors.
Mm, what a great idea. So it doesn't have to be, you know, you can do different things. Well, I just wanted to say to Angie, I would also recommend that you get Pamela Prime's book, When the Moon is Dark, You Can See the Stars, because you have, you tell people how to write in here, and you have questions where they can ask themselves questions, reflection questions.
Right? Yes.
Which would help to structure her into being able to write.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, so that would be a great thing to do. But I think that we keep kind of making the point here that it is very helpful to find people to help you on your journey.
Oh, it is. I don't know what I would do without my friends and support system. And I hear that from other people who I support. So there's a way in which we really help each other grow, and I really like what Kim said, we move from glory to glory. You know, there's a way in which we really help each other shine.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you're open to looking for someone, Angie said she's a bit introverted. If she could maybe kind of look for a group, she could even do a compassionate friend, she can't do that as a mother. But if she looks at her community, sometimes it's great to go to the religion of your childhood, and you can and sometimes find some support there if you haven't been actively religious.
That's right.
You can go back and find some people. And you could also just find a writing group also.
Yes.
There's some wonderful writing groups around.
It would be a wonderful thing to have a writing group that was open to Angie expressing her emotions. But as you recalled earlier, there's not always people who are open to hearing those raw emotions, and yet it's so important to them.
Mm-hmm.
Them heard. And
well, good luck to you, Angie, on your journey and your trip. And what would you call it, her path?
Her path, yes, and I just really trust that she's going to be blessed along the way, and all that she needs will come to her, because she's just a loving and compassionate person. I'm impressed with her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, as far as finding peace after these kind of losses in light, what do you recommend to people?
Well, you know, the age-old saying that we have to come to terms with what is, and especially those things we can't change.
And that's a hard thing to do.
It's a very hard thing to do, and nobody can force it or make it happen faster. But when it does, it feels like a tremendous blessing and moment of grace and moment of great gratitude.
And it can take years.
Yes, and that's where we have to be patient with ourselves. I think it's just a matter of time. And the more I found, the more I really felt the feelings that I was feeling, the more I could accept life as it is and not wish it were different. And today I'm thankful for my life as it is. It's made me who I am.
Well, it's time for us to go to break now, and please stay tuned to hear more comments and advice from our guest, Pamela Prime, and to hear about next week's very special guest and topic. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, read our articles on the Open to Hope Foundation, and go to our new YouTube site. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Hello, my name is Beverly McManus. In 2003, my husband Steve died of cancer. It's been a tough journey, but it's been softened by being part of the Open to Hope Foundation caring community. This year, Abel Keogh, whose wife died by suicide, and I have launched the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com website. We're working hard to have timely articles and create a dialogue of support. The important thing to know is that you are not alone. We'd like to share your grief journey with you and others who have lost their partners and invite you to help us get the word out about the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com site. You can also reach us by going to opentohope.com and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where all of the foundation blog links can be viewed. Thanks.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us, we are talking today with Pamela Prime, author of When the Moon is Dark, We Can See the Stars, about finding peace and light after loss. Welcome back to the show, Pamela and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Pamela, you've been through a tremendous amount, loss of two children. You know, now you have lung cancer. I guess that's resolved. You're running a center. And the idea that you have found peace and light is an inspiration, frankly.
Thank you.
Heidi, did you have something you wanted to ask Pamela?
Yes, I was just wondering, Pamela, I know you talk a lot about your truths and your beliefs, and I was just curious to know what truths you learned about yourself after your children died.
Well, I think that probably one thing is I learned how strong I am. But I think more than that, and almost on the opposite side of the scale, is I learned how dependent I am on love. On the love of God and the love of my family and friends and community. And with that awareness, I really think I have gotten to the place where I have just surrendered my life to whatever is in the moment. And when that lung cancer diagnosis came, I felt really the incredible sense of what freedom it is to surrender the control, because I don't have it anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
That's always such a good point.
The more we try to control our lives, the less control we really feel like we have.
Yeah, and it's a heavy burden, really.
So and you're trying to argue with what is.
Exactly.
It's a constant argument.
Yeah,
that is almost silly if you think about it. But it's hard to give it up, isn't it? It's hard to give up that belief that it's a safe world and that, you know, that we can't control it and, you know, that things are all good.
Well, it's only when we give it up that we realize how hard it is to hold on to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I give it up, then I realize I'm free. And the hard part is holding on to believing I can make things change that I can't.
So if I'm struggling right now and I'm really early into the grief, maybe only weeks, what advice would you have for me?
I would say spend as much time as you can with people who love and care and are compassionate, people who are free to have you be exactly as you are and love you as you are, and be as compassionate and kind to yourself as you possibly can be, so that you can hear and feel and acknowledge and honor every feeling that your body is holding for you with love.
Thank you so much for being on our show today. And it's time to close our show, and I want to thank our guests, Pamela Prime and Kim McLean. Stay tuned, because we're going to go out with Kim McLean's song Rapunzel, Heart of Heavy Stone. Next week, our topic will be Facing Loss and Recovery. Our guests will be Candace Hurley and Tessa Watson, talking about Sidelines, and Jane Galbraith, author of Baby Boomers Face Grief, Survival, and Recovery. This show is archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific time, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope, renewal, and support. Remember, others have been there before you and made it. You can, too. You need not walk alone. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Kim and Pamela, thank you for helping people find peace and light after loss.
Thank you both.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Blessings.
And could we hear Heart of Stone now?
Maybe I'm Rapunzel and I need to let my hair down. Maybe I should fly out of this window and ride the window. Maybe I'm a bluebird and this is as happy as I'm ever gonna be. Heaven's not the remnant of this magic carpet, and it's the fading daylight on. So I think I'll pay attention to the beauty all around me that I see. Am I carrying the weight of broken dreams, or am I standing on a pedestal that lifts me to the stars? My eyes made strong by a heart of heavy stone. Oh. Maybe bliss is only in the minds of fools and lovers, and I have been a fool, so maybe I'll at last discover what it means to really love you, and to let you love me as I truly am. I who let my guard down like Rapunzel's golden hair come to me at midnight, and we will taste the cold white air. I cast aside my fear for you. You can leave or you can take my hand. Please take my hand. Am I carrying the weight of broken dreams, or am I standing on a pedestal that lifts me to the stars? I accept the things I cannot change, my weakness, but my life's made.
made strong by a heart of heavy stone.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.